Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we already know that your Holy Spirit is here with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, let it just fill our hearts, fill our minds, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us not only listen, but hear your word, Lord Jesus. And let it touch our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you just bless this word, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Yes, like I said, I will be coming out of Life Principle 22. And the title is, to walk in the Spirit is to obey the initial promptings of the Spirit.
Amen.
Some scriptures I'm going to be coming out of today will be in Acts 10. Just various verses throughout Acts 10. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Romans 8, verses 13 and 14. Oh, I didn't give page numbers. Acts 10 starts on 1342. Acts 16 starts on page 1351 if you have the voice. Romans 8, 13 through 14. It's on page 1382. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, but I might read some other ones in there as well. That's on 1433. I'm going to be reading an amplified version of 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, coming out of Acts 1 and 8, page 1327. And also John 16, I'm going to read the Amplified Version, but in the voice, that's on page 1316. Now, Charles Stanley posed this question, these questions. Do you ever feel burned out in your walk with God? Do you wonder if you are on the right track or is there something more that you should be experiencing? Do you wish that God's directions were clearer to you? Dr. Stanley goes on by saying, then you may be trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and wisdom rather than following the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to obey the initial promptings of the Spirit. When you do so, you are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to have his perfect direction and guidance. The Holy Spirit may lead you in ways that you didn't expect or you don't expect. But as you obey him, we see that he always directs you in the most blessed and effective path. Now, the chapter gives some examples. He gives us some examples of Cornelius and Peter in Acts 10. And he gives us an account of the Holy Spirit prompting them both. And I just want to share a little background now. If you don't know who Cornelius, if you in Acts 1. Cornelius, a Roman centurion and a member of the unit called the Italian cohorts, lived in Caesarea. Cornelius was an outsider, but he was a devout man, a God-fearing man, a God-fearing fellow with God-fearing family. He consistently and generously gave to the poor, and he practiced constant prayer to God. Now, he was a Gentile who prayed to God for wisdom and direction. He received a vision in which an angel came to him and told him that his prayers had been answered. Mm-hmm. He was then instructed to send some of his men to Joppa to find Peter, Simon Peter. And, you know, we all know Simon, one of Jesus' disciples, was a Jew. Who was staying at Simon the Tanner's house. Now, Peter was also having visions, and he had visions. He had had a vision. He had it three times. And he really didn't understand his vision. His vision was about four-footed animals and creatures coming out of a rift in the sky. And a voice, the Holy Spirit, said to him, get up and kill and eat. But, you know, Peter, he was kind of hard-headed. How many of us get like that and question sometimes what God tells us to do? Peter said, no way, Lord, these animals are forbidden. And the deity and the dietary laws of the Hebrew scripture, Peter said he has never eaten non-kosher foods like that in his life. Now, if God calls something permissible and clean, you must not call it forbidden or dirty. Now, you know, that rift that was up in the sky, it healed, and Peter was confused. He was trying to make sense of his vision. Then along came Cornelius and his men. And in verse 19 is supposed to be our key scripture. And verse 19 says, Peter's mind was still racing about the vision when a voice of the Holy Spirit broke through the churning thoughts. Holy Spirit said, the three men who are searching for you have been sent to me. So get up, go with them. Don't hesitate. Don't argue. And, you know, Peter listened then. He got up and went on down there. Now, how many of us are like Cornelius? He seemed to be a humble man and obedient to God's prompting of the Holy Spirit. Or are we like Peter? Although he loved the Lord, he seemed a bit defiant, and he questioned the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. God has no respecter of person. Mean that God will provide every person with the opportunity to receive the blessings available through his salvation. And in Acts 1 and 8 says, here's the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea and Samaria, and finally to the farthest places on the earth. Now, what if they never got together? In the commentary in the voice, it says, the true gospel is becoming increasingly clear as the church spreads and develops. What happens that day in Caesarea changes the face of Christianity forever. It builds a bridge from Jews to Gentiles, from insiders to outsiders, and sends the community of Jesus on a journey beyond the kind of religious and cultural barriers that all people erect. Through Peter's short trip, the church makes an important journey towards reaching the ends of the earth. Because the message of the Jews is not for the Jews alone, but for all people and all time. This is a hard lesson, and everyone is not eager to learn. Now, if Peter and Cornelius hadn't got together, who knows where the church would have been? Would have been at that time. In verse 44. We praise God for them getting together, because in verse 44, Peter wasn't planning to stop at this point, but the Holy Spirit suddenly interrupted and came upon him and all people who were listening. They began speaking in foreign languages, just as the Jewish disciples did on the day of Pentecost, and their hearts overflowed in joyful praises to God. Peter's friends from Joppa and all of them Jewish, all circumcised, were stunned to see that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even to the outsiders. Now, how many of us, you know, I remember when I was a young Christian, when I was a baby Christian, just starting out. And I was baptized my first time at age 12. And I was raised in the Baptist church. And you know, we used to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, at the age of 12, I didn't understand a whole lot. But I used to have this cousin. Her name was Candy. I mean, her name was Essie, but we called her Candy. She's no longer with us. But she used to sit there, and it didn't matter what. She would always be filled. But, you know, it was some people would shun it. Like, you know, oh, sit down. You a child. You don't know. But we don't know what the Holy Spirit was doing in her. You know, and I remember, as fast forward some years, as I'm in the Navy, and, you know, you don't have, you know, you're away from your home church, so you try to find a church. I found a prayer center, Church of God in Christ, in Hawaii, and I used to go. Pastor Martin was my pastor. And I remember one day we were sitting in church having a service, and he had brought in a guest speaker. And the man was up there giving the word and things like that. And, you know, people were out and they were shouting. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about filled with the Holy Spirit. But this man got up there and he said, if you didn't get up and shout and speak in tongues, you not saved. You know what? I felt something crushed my spirit at that time. Yeah. And I was like, wow, how can you say that? The Holy Spirit in you is not all about speaking in tongues, you know. And I didn't learn that until I got older. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with you all, that the Holy Spirit often speaks to us in the stillness of our hearts. With a word of conviction, maybe when we are doing something not of God, the Holy Spirit directs us away from something harmful. We often have heaviness or feelings of trouble, fearfulness, or uneasiness in our spirit. Some might say it's intuition. We must believe and obey his guidance. We are much more likely to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say if we are actively listening for him. We are more likely to see the Holy Spirit's direction if we are looking for him. You know, Hebrews 6:11-6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who seek him.
Yeah.
And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit may have spoke to them in tongues, but I was a kind of sit back and let the Lord just work in my heart. You know, but, you know, don't ever feel like you have to. I mean, and the gift of tongues, just like I say, it's a gift. We all may not have that gift. But, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing inside you, you welcome it. Amen.
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 You'll know.
And yes, you will. In Romans 8:13-14, it says, for if your life is just about satisfying the impulses of your sinful nature, then prepare to die. But if you have invited the Holy Spirit to destroy these selfish desires, you experience life. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are his children.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:13-14.
When the Holy Spirit is directing us towards helpful things, giving us assurance, we tend to feel a deep inner peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. An eagerness to see what God will do, and a feeling of what? Love, joy, peace, patience,
amen,
kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We must say yes to the Holy Spirit. When He prompts us to take certain actions or to say a certain word, we must be ready mentally to accept the Holy Spirit's direction. And then we must actually obey His promptings and follow through by doing and saying what He has called us to do. Galatians 5 and 16 through 18 says, "Here's my instructions. Walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit bring order to your life. If you do, you will never give in to your selfish and sinful craving. For everything the flesh desires goes against the Spirit, and everything the Spirit desires goes against the flesh. There is a constant battle raging between them that prevents you from doing the good you want to do. But when you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law." Now, in Dr. Stanley's Living Principles, he asked a question. Have you been ignoring the Spirit's prompting because you are unaware about where He is directing you? Has the Spirit challenged your beliefs, or is it moving you to change your course? The Holy Spirit can never lead you wrong because He guides you in doing God's will.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. John 16, I'm coming out of the Amplified Version, verses 13 through 17. "But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but He will speak whatever he hears from the Father. The message regarding the Son, and He will disclose to you what is to come in the Father. He will glorify and honor me because He, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you." Amen.
Amen.
That's
the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise Amen. God. In closing, the Holy Spirit is in all of us. You know, I remember the other night we were at prayer at Jamestown Commons, and actually showed me this when I was talking about Peter, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Pastor brought up this point. The Holy Spirit had to rain down on them, you know, but you know, the Holy Spirit is always in us. If you don't remember anything, just remember the Holy Spirit is always in you, and it's up to you. You know, and I'll go back to an elder's message about choices, you know, even, you know, pastor's message about being obedient and you will get blessings, you know. I mean, all these things just started in my mind, you know. I was like, no, I can't be writing a whole lot because then I'll forget what I'm talking about. But, you know, when you just think about, you know, the things that we teach, or we, you know, some people preach, you know, get up here and share, you know, take it to heart, because, I mean, and you go back and read these messages. Right. And like I said, in closing, the Holy Spirit is in all of us. Mm-hmm. It has come to reveal the truth to us. He has come in His all-knowing ability to impart to us mm-hmm. what we need to know in order to live obedient and faithful lives.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit confirms the truth of Jesus' gospel. When we walk in the Spirit, we will obey the Spirit.
Yes.
Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you.
Yes.
Spend time in prayer.
Yes.
Spend time in your word. and the Holy Spirit will guide you now and always.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, to just let everyone know the Holy Spirit is in them, Lord Jesus. Lord, and they just have to obey. Obey. If God is telling you not to do something, don't do it. God won't lead you down the wrong path. You know, so, Lord, I just ask that the ears that were here today, Lord, I pray that they listen.
Yes.
Hear, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.